The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM. An oversight, says Micheál Martin. We'll have former Minister Shane Ross, a former cabinet colleague of Catherine Zappone, with us in just a moment. But first, Daniel McConnell, political editor of the Irish Examiner. Whose idea was it to give this gig as special envoy for freedom of expression to our former minister?
Well, it was hers in the first instance. She approached Simon Coveney, said she'd be willing and able to serve. He thought it was a really good idea, so he approached his party leader, Leo Varadkar, and they agreed that they would put it on the cabinet agenda. Now, what is clear is that while there was mention of this proposal in a very lengthy memo about ambassadorial appointments, blah, 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 and that was certainly in the system from last Friday, what was not mentioned was her name. And this is despite that the leaders have a meeting on Mondays before cabinet. The name of Catherine Zappone was not raised with Taoiseach Micheál Martin.
How could it not have been? I mean, surely Fine Gael would have realised that this would have raised eyebrows at the very least, bringing a former minister from the last government in through a position like this at her own instigation.
And not just a minister of the last government, but a minister who was sort of catapulted into frontline politics by Enda Kenny. She was a standalone independent TD in 2016. She was the first to jump into coalition with Fine Gael, and she therefore got the reward of his full senior cabinet posting. So all of this, you would have thought alarm bells would have been ringing, or at least that, you know, the tyres needed to be kicked and people need to be kept in the loop or informed. But particularly the Taoiseach, it's his government. He's the leader of the government. And for him to essentially be blindsided, as we reported this morning, led him to be not best pleased. Now, what we now so he was not happy, but then ultimately, having kind of teased it out and kicked around with Simon Coveney at cabinet yesterday, he was certainly assuaged and ultimately took the decision not to oppose it. Now, that's a decision that has come back to haunt Micheál Martin with vengeance today. His own political party are absolutely raging that he either didn't back this to the hilt and own it as a political issue, or kick it to touch and give Fine Gael a kind of a rap on the knuckles. But he's kind of charted a kind of a midway course, saying, I'm trying to absolve myself from this, saying that was Simon Coveney's mistake, but I didn't oppose it. So he's kind of caught in the worst of both worlds in relation to this.
And what is a special envoy for freedom of expression when
it's
at home?
No idea. We're still waiting for the spec as to what the job is for.
Because it wasn't advertised either, was it?
Wasn't advertised, wasn't open to any competition. It doesn't seem that it was kind of a requirement from our membership in the United Nations or anything like that. Who really knows what this sort of job is for? It's all about, I suppose, you know, enhancing Ireland's reputation on an international scene. However, you know, Catherine Zappone is not a lifelong politician. She was an education advocate. Yes, she's been very strong on kind of marriage equality, etc. like that. But, you know, there are question marks as to, you know, while certainly the Taoiseach didn't raise any objections to her candidacy, there are plenty of others who are saying, well, you know, is this simply jobs for a former friend of Fine Gael who, you know, bolstered them and looked after them when they were in government? And, you know, this also is a decision that has gone down like an absolute lead balloon within Fine Gael, because many in Fine Gael see Catherine Zappone as the trigger or the cause of Enda Kenny's demise back in 2017.
Remind us about that.
So he had gone on a radio show and said he had had a conversation with her around the circumstances about allegations involving Maurice McCabe. It subsequently turned out that that conversation never happened. He had to go into the Dáil a few days later and issue a mea culpa, saying, you know, I sort of misspoke or kind of got it wrong. And that ultimately triggered his downfall, because ultimately his credibility had essentially run out and there was moves against him within the party, and that ultimately triggered his downfall. And there are many within Fine Gael who remember that and are less than pleased, to say the very least, that she's been rewarded with a paid position by the taxpayer, which involves international travel and probably plush stays in hotels and all the rest of it, and also as well access to a secretary and staff. Plus, there will also be
access to a secretary and staff, yep, as well. Oh, that's a nice additional bonus and benefit, isn't it?
But there's a further bonus and benefit, Matt, is that this sinecure and this time will also enhance her ministerial pension as well.
Will it?
It will indeed.
Former cabinet colleague of Catherine Zappone, Shane Ross, is with us now. Do they have a soft gig lined up for you at all, Shane? Or have you actually put the kibosh on it by publishing that book In Bed with the Blue Shirts?
Well, I haven't heard it if they do. No. I sat beside Catherine Zappone at cabinet for many years, and she was a very good cabinet minister, and she might well be qualified for this job. But I'm absolutely staggered that this has happened. I can't believe that they had the brass neck to do this, because here we have Catherine Zappone actually having approached Simon Coveney and said, look, I would like this job. Now, I don't know whether the job even existed beforehand. I don't know whether it was created for her or not. We'd presumably find out about that. But then they can't even give an adequate definition or job spec of it. Today I read in one of the newspapers that it says it gives the government an enhanced capacity for engagement on Irish human rights positions, priorities. That means nothing. What is enhanced capacity for engagement on Irish human rights priorities? It seems to me that this is absolutely wrong. There is no procedure. There were no advertisements. The cabinet itself was bounced into it, and no alternative person was considered for this job. This is exactly the wrong way to go about things like that. And can I just say one thing? I can think of one person who I know well and you know well, who might have his hat in the ring for a job like this, but doesn't get the opportunity. I don't know if he would or he wouldn't. That's Finian McGrath. Finian's next minister. Right?
I know. You're trying to look after one of your mates.
No, I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm saying that there should be a procedure for people, because what I'm saying is this, which is a glaring example to me. Here he was involved in the UN Convention for the Rights of People with Disabilities. Why shouldn't he apply for the job? Why shouldn't 20 or 30 other people who have records on human rights and on the UN apply for the job? And what's happened? What's happened here is one person has been selected for a well-paid job. It's only 60 days without competition, and someone who's well-known to the government as well. And the Taoiseach himself isn't informed, so it's bounced through. I have no objection to Catherine Zappone getting this job if she goes through the same procedures as other people, and that there are procedures for doing it, because there are people equally well-qualified, probably better qualified out there, who should be put in line for this job. But the other thing is, is it really a job at all? We're told it's only 16 days, which is 15,000 a year for 16 days. That if you multiply that by, you know, the necessary amount, it's a 90,000 a year job, and plus expenses, plus salary. So what we've got here is exactly the wrong way of going about things. We've got the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, instead of saying, halt at the cabinet, we're not going to let this one through because there's been no procedure. I wasn't told about it. The cabinet's been bounced into it. He should have said, no, put this to one side, go out, advertise it again, and let anybody who wants to apply for it, and have a proper panel set up, which we always had in my department, for every single paid job that came through. But that's not been done. And you can only conclude what Daniel has gone in this direction here, is that this has been either created or been fitted for Catherine Zappone. And it's not going to do the government any good. But it's also not going to do her any good.
Shane, how would you characterise her relationship with the Fine Gael members of the government in which you served? Did she become, despite being independent, effectively another Fine Gael person?
Well, I was always very disappointed, for instance, in Catherine's attitude, say, to the judicial appointments, which was a very similar type way of appointing people. You bounce it through the cabinet at the last minute. The name never came to the cabinet till the last minute of the judges. The name never comes to the cabinet at the last minute. It's not on the cabinet papers, and everybody just rubber stamps it and lets it through. The Taoiseach had a heaven-sent opportunity here to say, halt, I'm not going to let this particular one through. And her relationship with Fine Gael, well, it was certainly better than mine, to be honest, because for reasons of this sort, because they didn't try, we didn't get a kind of series of appointments of the sort we were getting at the moment, which are obviously politically motivated without any application form or any procedure at all. She was not noted for supporting Finian and me on this particular issue. So I think I should say her relationship with Leo Varadkar and Simon Coveney, who made this appointment, were very good indeed.
Daniel McConnell, you mentioned something to me off air just before we started, which I'd forgotten about, which is very relevant given what Shane Ross has just been talking about, judicial appointments. And this time last year, we were just about to have Golfgate and the controversy involving newly appointed Supreme Court Judge Seamus Wolfe, man who's still there. But of course, there were issues about the way in which the government went about his appointment. Did they not learn anything from that?
No, this government seems to have a remarkable capability of shooting itself in the foot. And it seems to, that they must lose their own themselves when they're getting into the summer season, because it was just after the formation of the government at the end of June last year when essentially the Taoiseach, the new Taoiseach, was essentially presented with a fait accompli in relation to Seamus Wolfe. And ultimately, you know, again, look at all the trouble that was caused there. But Fine Gael also seemed to have a remarkable knack of seeking to reward political failure. Enda Kenny was like well versed in rewarding political failure in his party. He made James Riley his deputy leader, despite having lost an election, and he became a Shannon, appointed to the Shannon. Jerry Butterman again was appointed to the Shannon and was made Shannon leader. Regina Doherty has been, you know, having lost her seat, and now they're rewarding people not even in their own party for after having lost their seat. So there are questions.
Sorry, let's just remember Catherine Zappone failed to get re-elected in the general election.
In the Dublin South West constituency.
Yeah. And also was the subject, I think, of a lot of disappointment from people in the childcare sector once she got into government, and also took an awful lot of criticism about the Mother and Babies Commission report.
She certainly did, and I think it would be fair to say she left an almighty mess on the desk of Roderick O'Gorman, who's had to spend an awful lot of time cleaning up that mess, particularly in relation, and maybe not fully successfully either, in terms of mother and baby homes. So her track record in government is not stellar. You know, I think she came into government and into politics for many of the right reasons, but I think her capacity to do the job effectively was certainly open to question. And I would probably go a bit further than Shane. I certainly think she went native when in government.
Shane Ross, does this, though, of course, now provide opportunity for others in future to say, well, if Fine Gael can appoint envoys, we'll appoint envoys. For example, if Sinn Féin got into power after the next election, they could say, well, why don't we make Gerry Adams special envoy for peace in Northern Ireland, as example, a sort of political patronage as a reward for people.
Of course, that's exactly the opening that's being given. And it's also been what's going to happen here now. We've heard the reaction in Fianna Fáil at the moment, and they're actually flipping about this, partly, I suspect, because they would have wanted one of their own to be appointed, and partly because they think that Micheál Martin was extremely weak in cabinet. And what's going to happen next is, and the Greens, where the Greens were in this, I don't know, but I presume Eamon Ryan was asleep. I mean, it's just bananas that they didn't put their hands up and say, hey, what about this procedure? It's got to be delayed. But they didn't. And what's happening here is we're getting the culture, this culture, creeping back into Irish politics. And Fianna Fáil, as night follows day, will be demanding from Micheál Martin that they follow the same type of procedure and that they make these type of appointments quickly with no procedures whatsoever to look after their own. And this is the worst type of politics in Ireland. And what I suggest should happen here now is this should be reversed and put out to tender, put out for public advert. Because if you break the rules of putting things out to public advertisement, which is what this actually does, then you're going to break them again and again and again, and it's going to get back to Buggins' turn, which they did with the judiciary for years, which is, this is Fianna Fáil's turn to get a judge, Fine Gael's turn to get a judge, Labour's turn to get a judge, or the Greens' turn to get a judge, and that'll become the norm. That's where we're getting back to, because many politicians see it as their right to appoint people whom they know well to the exclusion of people whom they don't know well. And to say that she was exactly the right person for it excludes the possibility that people, and I've no axe to grind, by the way, for Finney, and he's a friend of mine, he's a good friend, but he's got the same sort of as good a qualifications, and I don't think he'd be interested in the job.
Okay.
Anyway, but it's excluding people who have a superb record on the UN and human rights as well. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
Shane, just one last thing I want to ask you about. Of course, you're out of active politics for just over a year and a half now at this stage since last general election. But there are suggestions that you're going to run in the by-election for the vacancy in Trinity College created by the election of Ivana Bacic to Dáil Éireann. Can you confirm your candidacy for us?
I'm not going to say anything about that at the moment, quite honestly. I haven't considered it.
You haven't considered it? You must at least have considered it.
I thought you said I haven't considered it because I'm in the process. I just signed a contract to write a biography of Mary Lou MacDonald. And that's got to be completed in a fairly short period of time. And so whether I have time to do anything else at all at the moment, I'm writing for Sunday Independent at all at the moment, is a completely different issue. So I really haven't, and I'm not going to give it any consideration at all for the next few weeks, because certainly the writ won't be moved before September.
Okay. Actually, just briefly, the Mary Lou MacDonald book, will she be cooperating with you on it?
I guess not. I have spoken to her about it. I told her I was doing it. I think she won't cooperate in any real way, to be honest, because I think Sinn Féin are very secretive. But that, I mean, I'm already working on it and have been for the last week, and I'm finding out some very interesting things.
Would you expect to get cooperation in Belfast, perhaps, from people in the Republican movement there who might have been very involved in her succeeding Gerry Adams as leader of the party?
Well, I'll certainly be looking, and have been looking, to speak to people in Belfast of that type, and people who are both her opponents and both her supporters in that very controversial area. I mean, the interesting, there are two really main questions, I suppose, to be answered about Mary Lou McDonald. One is how a South Dublin private school educated person suddenly became leader of Sinn Féin, which was the political arm of an organisation of the IRA, and how as well, I suppose, the second key question is how does she get on, and how does that sort of a person reconcile themselves or get on with the hard men up in Northern Ireland? Those are questions which I haven't resolved yet. But it makes her into a really interesting person. And of course, it's very relevant because she's very likely to be the next Taoiseach of the country.
Very interesting sounding project. Best wishes for us. Shane Ross, thank you for joining us. And Daniel McConnell, political editor of the Irish Examiner.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.